Ever feel frustrated that the true essence of Easter gets overshadowed by all that bunny business? I mean, as a Christian mom of littles in today's culture, how do we balance the fun of, say, egg hunts with sharing the profound story of resurrection with our little ones? Well, today we're chatting about more than just chocolate bunnies and egg hunts. Although, let's be honest, those are really great too. We're going to unwrap the deeper meanings behind our favorite Easter traditions and see how they tie back to the incredible story of Jesus' resurrection. So whether you're knee-deep in Easter basket prep or you're just looking for a moment of peace among the chaos, I've got you covered. Let's rediscover the joy and hope of Easter together while also making sure that this season remains truly meaningful for us, our families, and especially our little ones. Let's hop on in. Did you see what I did there? Yeah. Hop. Let's do it.
The Energized Mama Podcast, a place where we explore together
how to raise those littles to know the Lord
while growing in your own intimacy with Jesus, learning how to keep your energy
while handling the inevitable stress,
and rediscovering yourself outside of motherhood. It is possible. Let's do it together.
Mommy.
Mama, Mama.
A few months ago, I'm not sure if you caught my episode about different traditions and different things you can do to celebrate Halloween without having to participate in the dark, scary themes of the season or doing trick-or-treating. It ended up being one of my most popular episodes, and I really took a moment to think about why is that? Why is it that something that seems so basic and simple in our culture is just not as easily accepted anymore? You know, we've got this woke culture going one way, and then we have Christian moms and dads that are like, wait, hold on a second. I want to be woke in a whole nother way. I want to be woken up to how culture is pulling a curtain over my eyes or is trying to, and how can I balance that whole notion, that whole essence of in the Bible, how Jesus declares that we are to be in the world, but not of it. That strange, tough dichotomy. And that episode that I did about Halloween was actually spurred on by the fact that my family and I, as we had just moved to the US from Belgium a few months prior. In Belgium, Halloween is not as big as it is here in the States, and it's starting to catch on and starting to take on more of the American traditions. But overall, Halloween is still largely, hugely celebrated in America, more so than Europe. So I was quite shocked when during this season, we also happened to have an opportunity to have our older son Mason start going to preschool. And upon his first week, it happened to be the week of Halloween. So I was very excited that he was going to go in, and I was expecting some harvesty fall things. Maybe the kids would do some dress up. But what I was more surprised was to see, and this is not throwing any shade at my preschool, and I'm not going to be one of those moms that plays the name game on here. We love his preschool and his teachers and the staff. However, I will say I was surprised and a little disappointed in that they celebrated Halloween with a lot more of the culture norms than what I was expecting, especially since this preschool is attached to a church and they truly love Jesus. The kids go to chapel, they learn about Jesus in the classroom. I was just surprised at how much they were adapting into the classroom. And I was even, I think, continually surprised as Christmas was coming around and there was so much emphasis on Santa and elves that it really made me wonder, you know what? What do we do as Christian moms and dads? What can we do? It can be very, very tempting to want to move away, live in the middle of nowhere, have our own homestead, live with no internet, no screens, and just live off the land, right? And have the only, you know, books that we have are about Jesus and the Bible. Well, that may be some of your desires and your dreams, but it's not the reality, right? So many of us live in the world, but we know we're called to not be of it. So what do we do? What do we do? And sure enough, about a week ago, our son came home from preschool and said, "Mommy, Mommy, do you know who's coming to my school?" And I'm like, "Nobody, tell me. Like, is there a special," like I'm thinking, is it career day? Do they have like a fire truck coming or something? And he's like, "No, Mommy, the Easter Bunny is coming." So again, here we are in a culture that celebrates all these traditions that are not exactly derived from the Bible. And it made me wonder how many moms out there are in that same conundrum, are struggling with that same notion of, hey, how do we make sure that we keep the focus on Jesus? How can we, without getting stressed overwhelmed or frustrated, whether it's at a teacher, a school, friends of our children, maybe family members who want to celebrate it in one way, how can we have that happy balance? Happy balance. Now, how can we turn it to something for good, for our kids' good? So I'm here today in this episode. I'm actually going to bring us back because you probably, like me, did not learn about a lot of the origins of where did these Easter traditions come from? When did it become popular to do decorating the eggs and the Easter bunny and looking and searching for baskets? Where did all that come from, right? Because these can be great conversational pieces that you can bring up with your children who are probably learning about it in school or from siblings or cousins. And then we are going to talk about how can we bring these things back to who this holiday is all about, Jesus. So I hope you're ready. Let's go. First up, let's talk about some Easter traditions, right? Probably what's coming to mind for you is some egg decorating. Maybe you hid chocolate eggs around the house. Maybe you were like me, hid some real eggs around the house and unfortunately didn't find them all until a few months later. Oh yeah. That was a bad stench. Or you went and searched for baskets, or maybe even your church is embracing some more of the cultural traditions, right? Doing Easter egg hunts, or maybe even having an Easter bunny after Easter service for kids to take pictures with. Well, this caused me to want to just do a little bit of a history search, a little bit of a going back, and where did these traditions actually start? The Easter Bunny, whether you find him super cute and fluffy or absolutely terrifying, I mean, we've all probably seen those Easter Bunny photos, or maybe we have some from our own childhood trauma that we're still trying to heal from. His origins can be traced back actually pre-Christian. So even before Christ came, there was already different festivals around the world that were celebrating the bunny, the Easter Bunny, well, now known as Easter Bunny, but basically rabbits for different reasons. So there was actually a festival of, I'm probably gonna butcher this name, but Oyster, who was a goddess associated with spring and fertility over in Anglo-Saxon area. So we're talking over in England and modern day Scotland, over in that area. So when spring would happen around this same time of year, they would make big celebration, and the main symbol of the celebration was a rabbit. So, and the rabbit in general over history has been known for its quite epic fertility, right? So very prolific breeder, the rabbit. And so it's become such a symbol of new life and fertility and renewal, which align, of course, beautifully with the themes of spring. And even looking at the symbolism of what Christ did, how new life, right? Reborn, resurrection. You know, that's what I love when you actually read the Bible and you read the beautiful, just interweaving tapestry that it is. It's just gives me God bumps, honestly. It's like you can't help but fall in love with the symbolism of God and the way that scripture is just so beautifully aligned with even what we just see in God's creation in this world. And then of course, when Christianity came, you know, when Christ came and he died, and after the good news started being spread out by the disciples over the centuries and their followers, of course, too, over the centuries that passed, especially up into Europe, the whole origin of the bunny and being about renewal and spring just started to be absorbed and kind of reinterpreted along the Easter holiday and seasons. So it's just like with the Christmas tree. Christmas is the celebration of Christ's birth, and you will rarely see any American home, at least, without a Christmas tree. But that was actually adopted from a pagan Yuletide celebration. So the same kind of thing, because, you know, Yuletide and celebrating and birth, you know, symbolizing with the Christmas tree and thankfulness, gift giving, gifts going under the tree. It's like that was very brought into the imagery and symbolism of Jesus being born and the three wise men bringing him gifts. Same kind of thing with the Easter Bunny. And what has happened a lot over the 2 millennia since Jesus died is that many Christians actually have embraced some of these celebrations or these symbols as a way to actually make the message of Christ more accessible to people who don't know him. So basically to make it easier to convert people by kind of speaking their language, which I think we all know that culture is definitely a language in and of itself. You know, I've learned that a lot from living between Europe and America, that English is not just a language, and my husband's native tongue, Dutch, is not just a language, but Belgium and America, those countries, they have a language of themselves, just how people communicate non-verbally and verbally to each other. So the Easter Bunny ended up becoming a way that Christians even themselves use to
share about rebirth and renewal to people who maybe wouldn't have been open and to that message of Christ in any other way. So in that way, maybe your heart can soften a little bit towards the Easter Bunny and realize that it wasn't so much his fault, but Christians have been doing this in many areas of culture over the past two millennia. Even if you look at the origins of a lot of Christian worship songs, they were often set to old bar tunes so that people would hear the hymns coming out of the church and say, hey, I know that jingle, you know, I'm rolling out of the bar tonight, I'm gonna go in the church and sing it now, you know, so kind of whatever works. But besides the Easter Bunny, we also have seen, right, a few other traditions that I've already addressed, you know, pop up, and everything from like egg hunts and Easter baskets, they also always point back to new life, right? New life, reborn, you know, new blossoms, you know, old things dying away so that new things can come back. And the idea of, say, the Easter Bunny actually delivering eggs, I did a little research and it's kind of hard to figure out exactly where the origin came from, but most historians say that it probably originated in Germany, which is where I think we can blame most of our children's stories from in a good way. But, you know, it's where there were tales for many centuries where there was like an egg-laying hare called Osterhaus, Haus of Osterhaus, and children would make nests for this creature, this oversized big bunny, to lay its colored eggs. So that's where a little bit of the magic comes from. It's amazing just to see how over time and over literally an ocean, how traditions come and go and pass along from generation to generation. So ultimately, though, what's beautiful about whether it's Easter egg hunts or the baskets or just the Easter bunny, I think that there's really a treat there, that there's this hidden symbolism, this rebirth, this new life that spring gives, you know, to the world, to nature, that by extension that Christ brings us. Not only was it his new life, he had to die so that he can be resurrected, he ultimately died so that we can be resurrected, right? So that we can have that new life in Christ. So can I get an amen? Can I get an amen? Sometimes I know that it's overwhelming to figure out how do we teach such seemingly complex subjects like Jesus dying and Jesus coming back to life and resurrection and sin and a blood sacrifice. How do we explain that to our children that are young, especially when some of these concepts are really hard for them to even understand? You know, most of our children perhaps have never had to experience death, you know, and it is a hard concept for them to fully understand. But beautiful moments like this and podcasts like this, this is what I seek, is to try to help you relate these things and lessen the anxiety and the overwhelm that you may feel, and find a way, how can we make this more seamless into your life? How can we help you, mama, understand it better? And how can we have it resonate in your soul so that you become like a wellspring to your children, so that you allow Holy Spirit to speak effortlessly through you in a way that he knows that your kids are going to understand, that he knows, in a way that your kids will be able to receive. So take the pressure off. And as we end this episode, so we learned about kind of the traditions and the origins, but now it's kind of like, okay, now what? Right? Now what? So that's where this Easter thing came from. But what does that mean to our Christian families? What does that mean in our home? Like, how can we actually deal with the grappling of our spirit? How do we maintain the spiritual significance of Easter while also making sure that we don't become a bunch of Scrooges, grumpy old people who don't want our kids to engage in any of the fun aspects of different traditions, right? Here I'm going to break down just some simple tips, some ideas that you can incorporate into your home that maybe you're already doing. Maybe you're already decorating eggs. Maybe you're already going to go to grandma's house and search for the Easter basket that the Easter bunny left at her house. Well, this is a way you can just bring Christ into the conversation and help make these traditions not just fun, but also meaningful. If you're a numbers gal, I like numbers when they can serve me and help me categorize things in my life. I have five tips or five ideas of how you can bring the message of Easter into your home and incorporate it into things that you're already doing. So yes, we are not going to add more to your plate. Chances are you're already doing a couple of these things, or they take very minimal effort, and it's a good balance, right? It's a good balance of embracing what your kids love and what they find fun and what they're hearing that their friends are doing, but finding a way to bring it back to to Jesus and having a spiritual focus and have it be deeper. That's actually exactly why I created my book, my cookbook, Need and Know, because so many moms would tell me, I'm so overwhelmed with cooking. Like, it is the one thing I hate thinking about, but I have to do it. Unfortunately, God did not make our bodies to just survive off of water and air. He made this amazing, yummy food, but then he did his part, and now it's our part as moms to put together healthy, yummy, nutritious meals, which is easier said than done, right? Oh, and yeah, not to mention try to spiritually feed my kid and make sure that their spirits are being poured into. That's why I created my cookbook, and I have the link for it below. I created 7 meals and for 5 different parts of your day. So that's why it's so overwhelming, moms, because we're not even thinking. We're actually probably prepping like 5 meals a day for our family. I mean, you've got your breakfast, there's brunch, and then there's lunch, and then there's what I like to affectionately call dinner, of course, right? The snack between lunch and dinner. And then there's dinner. And then sometimes either you like a after dinner snack. What would that be? Din fest, like between dinner and breakfast, breaker, I don't know. I'm going to drop it right there. But so we're making all of these meals a day. So I have 35 recipes where you can guarantee that they are easy to make. They're healthy. They're made with mostly ingredients you already have in your cupboard. And then they all are named after a Bible character and a story, so that as you're making these recipes with your kids, they're learning about, yes, how to use a knife and a rolling pin and a bowl and things like that. But they're learning how to feed themselves nutritiously. But then they get to, you know, ask you, Mommy, Joseph's Technicolor tacos, like, who's Joseph in this coat that he wore? And there's scripture that you guys can reference, you know, as you're either making the meal or later at night when you're, you know, after eating the tacos or maybe at the dinner table. And then I give you 2 takeaway questions, and they're specifically suited for kids ages 2 to 6, so that when you're sitting there, you don't have to grapple and think, oh my gosh, are they going to understand this? What question do I ask? I don't know. They're asking all the questions and I feel on the spot. No, I make it very simple for you. So that's exactly why I created the Need and Know cookbook. Again, the link is down in the show notes below. And that's what I'm doing here with you today as well, and bringing home this message of making it easier on you to enjoy the Easter season. So here we go. First and foremost, here's an idea. You guys can make resurrection storybooks. I think every mom out there can agree that reading is a fantastic way to bond and connect with your kids, and it's a great way to bring the Easter story to life for a child. So you can choose age-appropriate books that narrate the resurrection of Jesus in a way that's engaging for kids. This activity will not only promote family bonding, but it's also going to help children understand the significance of Easter. There's a couple books that I found on Amazon that I think you'd really like, and I put those in the show notes below as well. Something very simple, pictures that are really nice to see, and again, something that can be a gift that keeps on giving, because you can pull them out every Easter or read throughout the year so that the Easter spirit is alive in your family. Next, not sure if you're a Spotify fan, but I sure am. What about having a specific playlist just for the Easter season? Music is such a powerful tool for worship and for celebration. You can either go out there on your own, or again, go back down to the show notes. I tell you, I got a lot of good stuff for you guys today for this episode. You can find uplifting Easter songs for kids and a family sing-along or dance session. I've put my own playlist together for you. Nothing too overwhelming or crazy, but again, songs that have to do about how he is risen, about conquering the grave, overcoming, and it's a really great way to introduce your kids to maybe worship music in general, or just simply the joy of praising God together as a family. All right, so that's 2. Number 3, here we go. So crafts, right? How about Easter story crafts? If you have kids that are 6 and under, chances are they still love working with their hands. Crafts are a hands-on way for children to explore their creativity while also learning about Jesus's resurrection. And I know kids at this age, they like to use their hands. They like to get dirty. They like to, you know, connect things. And this is great for your kids that you're starting to learn are more hands-on learners, right? You have your visual learners, you have your audio. So maybe those first 2, the resurrection storybooks, are more for your visual learners. And then maybe number 2 are for your auditory learners, okay, right? The songs. Well, now for your hands-on learners, the Easter story crafts are going to be great. You can consider making empty tomb rolls, even making out of toilet paper rolls or out of paper towels, tubes. You know, you can simply make a empty tomb there. And you can even make a little paper Jesus and talk about how he's in the grave and then he's out of the grave and in the grave and out of the grave. You can make crosses. You can make even resurrection gardens. There is all kinds of amazing ideas out there. Just remember that these activities can actually help reinforce the story of Easter and allow for meaningful discussions about Jesus, about his sacrifice, about his victory over death as you're actually making it together. And be open to your kids' interpretation and questions and say they don't get it exactly. That's okay. Allow them to be wrong. Allow them to ask questions, right? The way you approach them can be the way that they learn about how Jesus approaches them, right? Without judgment, come as you are. And so I encourage you to come at your children that way with making Easter story crafts. All right, two more. The next one is baking Easter treats, right? So of course you can do the decorating of the eggs, and every egg usually you can decorate with colors, right? You can talk about the symbolism of different colors, talk about what color reminds them of Jesus, or say you're coloring one that is green and what does green remind you of? And they may say something like broccoli or grapes or grass, fresh, new life, things that grow, and relate that to Jesus's story. Or maybe you're dyeing one that's pink or red and talk about Jesus's blood and why he had to die and how his blood is the covering for our sins and why we never have to be scared or we'll never be alone, you know, all those things. You can also, for moms that really like to get down and dirty in the kitchen like me and you want to bake or, you know, make something a little bit even more creative, is you could say bake cross-shaped cookies or a cake, you know, around Christmas time. I know a lot of families bake cakes for Jesus's birthday, but why not make a Jesus is alive cake, using the time that you are in the kitchen to talk about the symbols of Easter and the story of Jesus's resurrection is just going to continue to be an opportunity where you can introduce Jesus as basically the bread of life. There you go. That's a free one right there, is get out a loaf of bread and start talking with your kids about that. The last idea I have for you is something that is more on the side of trying to think about how Easter can be something that actually ends up being a true ministry and evangelism opportunity. There are two holidays that are culturally accepted where people show up to church the most, right? And I think if I pause, we could all say them together. Ready? Right? Christmas and Easter. Yep. Those are the two most opportunities that people that are not Christian are most open to going to church. And sometimes it is because of what the church is offering. So if your church is doing a Easter egg hunt, or they're having Easter baskets, or again, going to have the Easter bunny at a service, that's such an easy way that you can have open dialogues with your friends, or maybe the parents of your children's friends, or the woman that you run into all the time at the gym or the post office. Invite them to your church's Easter service and encourage your kids to do so too. Allow them to see you do this. Allow your kids to be able to see you invite people and make it a very easygoing thing. You know, around Easter, it's very common for people to also host like a big community meal or have like Easter Sunday dinner. Even in Belgium, my husband's family is not Christian believing, but on Easter, we would have a big family afternoon meal together. And what a great way to, you know, get together and talk about Easter and what it's all about and just be together, right? Just have another opportunity to be Christ's hands and feet to those around you, including your children and including encouraging your children to do so as well. I hope that by focusing on what you're already doing, right? And on these potential outreach opportunities, that Easter ends up becoming more than just a celebration within the church or some kind of a cultural norm, but it becomes basically a means of extending the church's reach into the community, and that you can focus on how you can build bridges with your children and them experientifying their faith and how to relate it beyond just culture and how to relate it to what's going on around them. So remember, it's really about finding balance, you know, balance that works for your family, one that honors your faith while also allowing your children to experience the joy and the wonder of all of what are known as Easter traditions, but also all that Jesus is and who he was, but who he is to us ever present today. Did you guys enjoy this episode? Did you get something from it? Did you learn something new? Well, if you said yes to any of those questions, please go ahead and quickly go to the show notes and hit share. Send this to a mom who you feel could really be blessed by this episode and needs just some peace in her life about how to celebrate Easter with her kids and with her family. And also, please, if you would, go over to Apple Podcast and leave me a quick review. Let me know how I'm doing. Let me know what you enjoyed about this episode or my podcast in general. It's one of the best ways you can make sure that I keep coming back to the mic and that more moms get to feel that sense of encouragement. I like to be every mom's hype woman. I want to hype women up for Jesus and remind them of their worth, remind them of their value, remind them of their identity in Christ first and foremost, and remind each and every one of you that God gave you your kids. He called you to your kids, that He gave you those kids in your life for a reason, and that He didn't give you your neighbor's kids. He didn't give you your brother's kids. He gave you the ones right there in your household. Maybe the ones that are making obnoxious amounts of noise or messes right now. Those are your babies, and He has equipped you to raise them. And if you're struggling with how to do that and how to keep up with it all, please come join me and other moms just like you who are moms that are tenaciously following Christ, who truly want to live out His call in their life, moms who want to be and live out Jesus to their kids and raise godly and Jesus-loving kids. And also, honestly, mama, maybe if you're a mom that also wants a life outside her kids, yeah, that's allowed too in my community. So come join us, and you'll find us at momnationcommunity.com. And it's a private group where we like to connect and just get real, get honest, get raw, and just be together. So you can find that link in the show notes below. And thank you guys for joining me on this episode. I'll see you guys very soon on the next one. Virtual hug.